reading to you from Mark, the first chapter, and with the 14th verse. And after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Vance is Cecil Moe. Energy Noma, converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ. Over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington, I told those men in prison the other day, "Look, I've been saved a lot longer than some of you guys have been on earth. There's a lot of young people in prison. They have to be at least 18 years old to be put in there." But anyway, I just love to tell those men and women how about God's love and what he's done for me. Next month, we're showing the other half of my film, Against All Hope. And I know that those men and women are, you know, waiting for that time. You know what? You'd be surprised the men and the women will come up to my wife and I and say, "You know what? We pray for you day and night." Oh, I said, "You just don't know how much I appreciate that." See, they think because they're in prison that they're zilches, they're nobodies, they're convicts. Well, I love them. Well, listen, kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour your glass of iced tea, a cup of coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Your Bibles, will you turn with me to Isaiah, the 41st chapter, and with the 10th verse. "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand." And I've named this, God has a proposition. Well, he certainly does. For you and for me tonight. Now, if you're not a born-again believer, you better get saved. Then we can talk to you, too. But I want you to listen tonight. And this really basically is for the Christian. But you can certainly stick around and find Jesus tonight before the message is over. This is a text that anticipates our needs. Oh, my stars, friends, we're needy people. You say, "No, we're not." Oh, yes, we are. Oh, we're living in troubled times. The economy is bottomed out. The banks are closing. Our people in Washington don't know what they're doing, and if they did, they wouldn't tell you the truth about it. You say, "Oh, Cecil, are you still mad at them?" Oh, yes, I am mad at them. They're a corrupt government, and if they wasn't corrupt, God would bless this nation. I'll tell you something else, Christian brother. If you and I would confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and he could send a revival into our churches. We don't have revival anymore. Listen, for all these years I've been preaching in evangelism. Billy Graham has been preaching in evangelism. D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, all of those men told the same story, that we had a job to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Well, this text meets us in anxiety and brings assurance. You know, that's the one thing every Christian should have, is assurance that they've been born again. And it moves us from fear to faith. What God wants to do for his children? Well, if you're a Christian, God wants you to be blessed. Oh, yes, he does. Even more than you want to be blessed. He longs to exchange his peace for our pain. And friends, I know a little bit about pain. I sure do. God wants to trade his fellowship for your fears. Now, here's what he said. fear thou not, for I am with thee. Friends, listen. Fears stalks all of us. Now, here's the four basic fears that America and all around the world. First of all, there's a fear of death. And I feared death before I was a Christian. I didn't want to even consider death. Why? Because I knew that I wasn't headed for heaven. Now, I knew that. See, all alcoholics basically know they're lost and doomed to damn. Then there's a fear of failure. No one wants to be a failure. Hey, you remember when we used to go to our class reunions? Well, I was a nobody in high school. I was just a little old kid, but I had some friends. But you know what? When we go back there, all the old football boys were there, all the ones that we looked up to, great players. Boy, we had a state champions in 1941. How proud I was to be to go to the Dalles High School. And then we have the fear of losing security. Hey, everybody would like to have a few thousand dollars in savings or CDs or something. My stars in the morning. It's pretty bleak. If you look at the future and if you look at the newspapers and you listen to the news analysts, you're going to get a little frightened. And then, of course, we have the fear of the future. Now, God answers all of these fears. And I read in Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." Oh, Paul, he wasn't messing around. He said, look, I'd be better off. I'd be happier, and I'd have more gain if I was dead. But he needed to live for Christ. Friends, that's the only reason that God has got you on this earth tonight, and me too, is it were to go out and bring people to Jesus. That is our purpose. Oh, I wish I could get that through to people. Then it says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Oh, listen, you know I've been telling you all these years, the best thing that you can do in the morning when you wake up is first thank him and then ask him to give you holy boldness and to fill you with his blessed Holy Spirit and give you souls for your hire. Friends, if you'll do that and mean it, I guarantee you he'll give you all the souls you can handle. And I wished I could sit here tonight and tell you I'm a bona fide soul winner. I can't say that. I try. Oh, I do, and I witness all the time in restaurants and banks and post office and gas stations, wherever I can. You know how I get started? You say, well, Cecil, I can't just walk up to someone and talk to them. Well, here's how I do it. I'll look at them, I'll say, you know, I'm so happy today. And they'll say, well, what's your gig? What you happy about? Well, I said, in 1954, I was staggering around in Skid Row drinking wine with the winos. But today, I'm free. Oh, I'm so freed up on no more booze. Because Jesus took it away. Alcoholic friend of mine, listen to me very carefully. You say, I can't do it. See, he said, don't work. It does work. It will work. But you've got to confess that you're a sinner. You've got to confess that you need Jesus to save you and to give you eternal life. Well, now, security said, my God shall supply all your needs in Philippians 4:19. He said, I will supply all your needs. Now, there is no G, greeds. He didn't say that. He said, but I will supply your needs. What is your needs tonight? He said, oh, boy, Cecil, I got a lot of them. Well, where are they? Talk to him. Tell him. Listen, friends, he wants to, every little facet of your life, he wants to be involved with. I've heard people say, well, you know, God is so busy doing things for other people, he don't have time for me. That's not true. You just pray, you just ask, and he'll tell you. He'll either say no, he'll say yes, or a little later on. But God will hear and answer your prayer. But the first prayer you need to pray is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Then you're born into the family of God, and then you have the right to come to God and ask him for your needs. You certainly do. Well, and then the future, lo, I am with you always. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. My, isn't that neat? He said, our Lord will never leave nor forsake us. And then I read in Hebrews 13, let your character free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid what man shall do to me. Do you realize that that's a promise of God? That's written in the Bible. You say, well, it might be for some people, maybe even for you, Cecil, or for somebody great and mighty. Oh, no, no, no. Hey, listen, my dear brother, my dear sister, you feel like you're zilch tonight. Maybe you don't feel that God really cares much for you, but I'm here to say he does. You know what he said? God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. There was nothing more foolish than an alcoholic. Absolutely nothing. I'm telling you, many, many of my friends in the Dalles knew me when I was stealing watermelons and things like that. They just couldn't believe it. I was carpentering with a young man. We was apprentice carpenters together in Portland many, many, many years ago. Well, we used to drink together, too. Well, after I got saved, and now I'm pastoring a church out there in Corbett, and he saw me downtown. I haven't seen him for years. He said, Mo, let's go have a beer. No, I don't drink anymore. What do you mean? Are you sick? No, no, I'm not sick. I'm saved. And then here's what he said. You mean to tell me, Cecil Mo, you're pastoring a church? You little drunken bum. Look at the things we used to do. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'd like to do? I'd just like to come out to your church and tell those people what kind of a life you live. I said, would you do that? Oh, please come out some Sunday, and I'll let you have the whole service. Because it's the Bible said, therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become as new. Hey, I am not a drunkard anymore. I'm not a bad person. I found Jesus. Am I perfect? No. And anybody that comes up to you says, I'm a Christian, and I'm perfect, you can say, go back and repent. Well, he said, I will never forsake you. In Hebrews 13, I read that to you. The Lord is my helper, and I'll not be afraid what it shall do. Now, God wants to trade his comfort for your confusion. Are you confused tonight? You say, Cecil, I just don't know what to do. I am beside myself. Dismay? Why did this happen to me? Well, I can't honestly say that, but I'll tell you, usually everything that happens to you is for a purpose, that you might glorify God. You know, friends, now, I know I've had cancer operation, I've had heart attacks and all this stuff. See, I can help other people when they come to me and they're down in their face and they're afraid and this, and I tell them, hey, I went through that. I sure did. Well, sometimes we can't understand why God allows these trials, but God owns us. He owns even in tough times. Whatever happens to, we belong to him. Now, God wants to trade his strength for your weakness. He said, I will strengthen thee. So many reasons for feeling weak. Well, sickness. Regret over our past failures. Conflict with the tempter. Oh, how the devil, oh my stars, how he loves to tempt us. Loves to put us in a position where he could like to. Look what he did to Job. Well, consider his strength in Isaiah 40:28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is insatiable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increase power through youth. Grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. Well, God never becomes weary. He never feels faint. And he gives power to the faint. Don't be ashamed to tell him that you're nervous. Don't be afraid to tell him you're frightened. Don't be afraid to tell him, Lord, I need your help. I need you to give me the assurance that you're with me and you love me. That's why we need to read in the book, the Holy Book. God, he imparts strength to those he loves, and he gives us the courage to go on. You think for 5 minutes there hasn't been pastors who's fell on their knees and wept because of the failure of their church. Their people aren't walking right, and they talk to the Lord and say, Lord, what are we going to do? Well, God will strengthen that pastor, and he'll help him to preach messages that will encourage them. God wants to trade his help for your helplessness. He said, I will help thee. Sometimes all we can do is cry for help and reach out to Jesus because he's reaching out to you tonight. God wants to trade his righteousness for your rags. In the Bible said in Isaiah, our righteousness is like filthy rags. Jesus had made righteousness available through faith. He took our sins upon himself. And we receive his righteousness by faith. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. In the right hand of his righteousness, Christ the Son of his right hand. Acts 7:55. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Listener says in Hebrews 10:12, but he having offered one sacrifice for sins for all, sat down at the right hand of God. And he's always interceding for you and I. Hebrews 7:25. Hence also, he is able to save forever. Did you say forever? For those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercessions. God's never going to die. So he's always alive. He's always there to help you and I when we call upon him. In 1 John 2:1, my little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What is an advocate? Jesus is our advocating, is our defending attorney. You know, when you do something wrong and you confess it, Jesus says to the Father, it's under the blood. I've forgiven it. He died to forgive our past sins, our future sins, and the sins that we commit today. You say, well, Cecil, boy, you made me feel good. Well, listen to me. I am not perfect. Oh, I am not. I will be someday, but I'm not now. On this earth, you will not be perfect. You won't even find a perfect church. You won't even find a perfect denomination. You won't even find a perfect preacher or evangelist. That's why I ask you to pray for your preacher. Lift him up. These young men surrendering to go to seminary, lift them up. Boy, how do they need help? Oh, listen, friends. The day I stepped into my pulpit, my first church, over 100 and some people out there, and I was so frightened. Oh, I was frightened. And you know, my deacon, who was a half-breed Indian, he said, "Brother Moe, I want you and our Sunday school superintendent to come with me." We went back in this room, and he said, "Brother Moe, you're frightened, aren't you?" I said, "Oh, I'm petrified." He said, "Well, let's get down on our knees, and let's get some strength for you today." And that dear old deacon, he cried, and he prayed for this young preacher boy that was so scared, wasn't even dry behind the ears. And while he was praying, I heard a little voice said, "Fear not, for I'm with thee." And I was able to go in the pulpit and preach. Friends, every one of us need the strength that God gives us. We need courage. But God has a proposition for you. Do you want to accept his proposition? If so, and if you're lost today and you don't know Jesus, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to bow your head with me right now. That is, if you have a tugging at your old heart and you feel a need for Jesus, I want you to bow your head with me right now. And oh, beloved, please don't pray this unless you mean it. And here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I thank you for loving me, and I thank you, Lord, for dying for my sins. And I'm so sorry for the mess I've made of my life. Tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart, and I'm receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'd love to have you get on the phone. Call Theo 3471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Don't you understand? You say, "Cecil, I don't understand everything you're saying." If you don't understand and you can't afford this call, you call 303-471-8534 and I call collect and I'll accept your charge. Would you do that? 303-471-8534. And I'll do my best to help you. And then I'll send you a book and a movie and to help you grow in the Lord. Get in the Bible. Get in a good Christ-honoring church. Start reading and finding out that God really loves you and God has a proposition for your life. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
Something.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, I pray that God touched your life tonight. I pray that he saved you if you were lost. Oh, my friend, I wished I could just sit down in your home with you with a cup of coffee, and I could tell you face to face what Jesus did for me. I was such a terrible person. But Jesus changed that. Well, he sure did. And he can change your life. Nobody is so wicked that God can't forgive him. Well, friends, be sure and pray for my wife and I as we go to prison. Pray that God will give us the strength and give us the needs that we have. And I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.